fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. We're going to discuss today verses 11 and 12 on the subject, Wisdom's Salutary Chastening. Now that's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. The third chapter of Proverbs is devoted to a description of the excellence of wisdom. And in this chapter, we have a fourfold revelation that wisdom is justified of all her children. You recall that the Lord Jesus Christ said unto the Pharisees and lawyers of his day, John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. And of course, this chapter is devoted to a fourfold revelation of this fact. Verses 1 to 10, wisdom's wholehearted devotion. Verses 11 and 12, wisdom's salutary chastening. Verses 13 to 20, wisdom's enviable heritage. And verses 21 to 35, wisdom's blessed assurance. Now let's look at verses 11 and 12 of chapter 3. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. The writer of the book of Hebrews refers to this passage in chapter 12, beginning with verse 5. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Chastening. Chastening, in the first place, is a training for the soul. Again, chastening is a trial to the flesh. And chastening, in the third place, is a test of our legitimacy. When we consider this matter of the Lord's chastening, I think there are two or three things we need to understand very clearly. One is, God does not punish his children. You see, punishment is penal and is reserved for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ or those who live and die in sin without receiving him as Savior. They are punished by being consigned to eternal hell, the fires of eternal hell, which are prepared for the devil and his angels. But you see, this is not the lot of the children of God. So punishment, being penal, is not God's work upon his own children. But God does chasten his children, for chastisement is corrective in its objective, and God uses this as a means whereby he might correct us from our wrongdoings and use it in order that we might turn to walk in his pathway. I want us to notice to begin with today the reason for the Lord's chastening. And the first thing is that we need it. God's children need chastisement. Back in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Proverbs, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Too often we are prone to trust our understanding, to lean unto that understanding of ours, and not trust in the Lord. And we need to be chastened in order that we'll be brought to trust in him and quit exercising ourselves in the energy of the flesh. Again, in verse 7 we read, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And many times God's people need to be chastened in order that we might turn away from being wise in our own eyes, where we might really have a proper attitude towards God so as to depart from the evil way. Again, verse 9 tells us, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase." And frequently we fail to give God that which is his due. That belongs to him. The first fruits of all our increase belong to the Lord. And many times God's people are tempted to reserve that for themselves. And we need to be chastened in order that we will trust in the Lord with all our heart, in order that we'll not be wise in our own eyes, in order that we will honor the Lord with our substance. Again, we need to be chastened according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31 and verse 32, we read, If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So believers need to be chastened, according to this passage of Scripture, in order that God would not have to condemn us with the world. Now, I don't understand why that's true. I know God's Word reveals it, and consequently, it is so. So, in the first place, God's children need to be chastened because we need to learn to trust him. We need to learn not to be wise in our own eyes. We need to honor him with our substance. And we certainly are chastened in order that we might not be condemned with the world. The second reason for the Lord's chastening is that we profit by it. God's children profit by the chastening hand of Almighty God. Job chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole." All right, we profit by it. In the 94th Psalm and verses 12 to 14, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance." So the man who's chastened of the Lord is happy because he profits from the chastening hand of God. Now, there are two things in which God's people profit by God's chastening. First of all, we find in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10 that our Heavenly Father chastens us in order that we might be partakers of his holiness. And this simply means that chastening is a sanctifying measure. Now, sometimes God's hand has to be very heavy upon us as he chastens us and corrects us from our evil doing. But his heavy hand is upon us in order that we might be sanctified, that we might be set apart from sin and from the world, yea, that we might even be set apart from pursuing our own pleasures, in order that we might be used of God for holy purposes. And so God desires us to be holy. As a matter of fact, the Scripture said that since he that called us is holy, we're to be holy in all our conversation, that is, in all of our activities, in our conduct. And God's Word tells us that we're to be holy for he's holy. So it is that God has called us to holiness. He desires us to be holy. He provides the means by which we can become holy. And sometimes he chastens us in order that we might truly partake of his holiness. So it's a sanctifying measure. Again, we profit by the chastening of the Lord, because by his chastening we are not condemned with the world. The Bible tells us there's a day coming which God has appointed, in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And he's given assurance of this fact by raising him from the dead. In other words, God Almighty is going to judge the world by righteous judgment by the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world, suffered the penalty of our sins, was raised from the dead, and is now back at God's right hand. Now, when that day comes that the world is judged at the great white throne, and those who've not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will appear there, and after their works are reviewed and revealed, then they will be rewarded and cast into the lake of fire. So, we profit by the chastening hand of God upon us now, in that we escape that awful condemnation that comes upon men when God casts them into the lake of fire. My dear friend, are you a child of God? Have you repented of your sins? Have you put your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you pled his blood for the salvation of your soul? If not, you're still a child of the devil. And one day God will judge you and send you to hell. But if you'll put your trust in him, you'll become a child of God. And when you become his child, God takes upon himself the responsibility of fatherhood, part of which is chastening, so that you'd not be condemned with the world, and so that you might be a partaker of his holiness. May God bless this study with regards chastening to our heart's good today.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.